Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
A few weeks ago, we had Dr. Niraja Havaligi in the KBOO studios to talk about crop diversity. Niraja is currently teaching a class on that topic at the Portland Underground Grad School, or PUGS, which is one of my favorite acronyms. Crop diversity is an important subject and one that might be critical to sustaining our planet's food resources. So we're fortunate to have two experts on the subject join us by phone tonight, Andrew Still of Adaptive Seeds, based in Sweet Home, Oregon, and Brian Campbell of Uprising Seeds, based in Bellingham, Washington. Andrew and Brian, are you there? Thanks for joining us at KBOO.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, great, thanks. We had a little last-minute technical difficulty to try to get all of you on the phone at the same time, but we managed. So, Andrew, let's start off with you. You're with Adaptive Seeds in Sweet Home, Oregon. Can you tell us a little bit about the company?
Yeah, we are a small seed farm that grows about, well, I think our catalog has about 520 varieties in it, that about 85% of them we grow ourselves on our farm. And we have a small network of other growers that help us out with the rest, which is kind of necessary and really good too. And we really like growing as much biodiverse varieties as possible, and our kind of our slogan is bringing biodiversity back for real, not just as like a museum would, but get it back into the food system so we can really start eating the stuff and having a more diversified foundation for everything that we eat.
Oh, Andrew, I noticed that on your website, the bringing biodiversity back. Could you explain biodiversity to our listeners, please? I know when we had Najira on, she talked about crop diversity, which is the topic of her PUGS class. Are those both the same term, just a different way of saying the same thing?
Yeah, we like to think of biodiversity in several different ways. Like there's the different crops that you could possibly be growing, like something like maybe we could grow sorghum here, or maybe we could, wild rice or cultivated wild rice grows really well near here, and we could eat more of that. So that's different types of crops that are more diverse, so we're not just eating wheat and corn and soy. But also, we like to focus a lot on biodiversity within a crop, so not just the pedigree variety of tomato that's like it's like the perfect pedigree pug, for example, to go on with that. But something a little bit more of a mutt that has a little bit more resilience and can adapt to climate and adapt to different growing conditions. And we like to offer diverse populations that is kind of a variety that's lots of variation within it to farmers and gardeners so they can have more diversity in their fields, not just a hybrid, which tends to be very not diverse genetically.
Is there additional reasons for the biodiversity? I know right now there's a big debate in Oregon about big growers. I think the Monsantos of the world, Archer Daniel Midland's, actually copywriting seeds. So if someone to grow it, you'd owe a licensing fee to these big corporations.
Yeah, well, a lot of the big corporations will do what they'll utility patent is the technical way that they do lately, where they'll decide that they really want to patent a particular color of lettuce or a particular disease resistance. So when they patent these things, you can't have them, like you can't sell that seed or breed a new variety with those traits without paying them or coming up with an agreement. Or maybe they don't want you to ever grow it at all so they can have a monopoly. And that's becoming more and more common. And that's why we like to sell only varieties that are in the public domain that don't have any intellectual property rights controlling their use. And we also like to support an initiative called the Open Source Seed Initiative, which is a way of making it so you can't patent a variety. It actually is a contract agreement pledge that says that anything you can do anything you want with this seed except patent it or restrict its use, which is that's really exciting for me. And that's really important as far as being able to still maintain the commons that seed is and has always been.
And Andrew, is that what you mean by a seed being in the public domain, kind of like open source software? It's not owned by Microsoft or Facebook or Google?
Yeah. Think about it. Most seeds have been in the public domain. And when someone like Syngenta or Monsanto patents a seed, they're kind of hunting it and fishing it out of the public domain and claiming it for their own. So we like to give back into the public domain because we've taken so much and borrowed so much from it. We like to, you know, it's kind of like feeding the soil because you used its wealth to grow your food.
Thanks, Andrew. Brian, let's get you on. You're with Uprising Seeds, and you're in Bellingham, Washington. You describe it on the website as a small family-run organic seed farm. Is your mission similar to Andrew's in terms of public domain seeds and biodiversity?
Yeah, there's an awful lot of similarity with what Andrew and Sarah and Christine and I do in our respective businesses. In a lot of ways, we see them as probably our closest peers. So we too are a farmer-based seed business, and I think that's pretty important. We're actually doing a lot of the seed work ourselves, like Andrew and Sarah do. We have a catalog of maybe 350 varieties, and like them, we do a lot of the trialing, produce a lot of the seed at our farm, and really think of ourselves as farmers first in what we do. And yeah, our goal is really similar, which is to just really celebrate the diversity that exists. We like to take on breeding projects as well to maybe add varieties to the public commons, but always with this mindfulness of really celebrating this treasure that we as humanity have inherited of thousands of years of people's relationship with plants and all the novel work that's been done breeding such a huge amount of diversity, and just really doing our work to promote that and celebrate it and work with it.
And you're on the website, I read that you're Washington's first 100% certified organic seed company. Are a bunch of other small farms following in your footsteps now?
You know, I feel like there is kind of a groundswell of a movement that's happening where, you know, there's a ton of interest in seed work in young farmers right now. And I think a lot of younger folks who are just getting into it see it as a really great way to support their work with seeds, you know, to get kind of the value-added return of putting it in a packet and selling it to local gardeners. I wouldn't say that I feel like I could still count on my fingers maybe to fully organic, 100% organic seed companies. So it's not something that is really like on a tear and super widespread, but it's definitely growing, and there's more and more of them every year.
Oh, well, Brian, thanks very much. And Andrew, thank you very much for joining us on KBOO this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Thank you.
We've been talking about sustainable foods and biodiversity with Andrew Still of Adaptive Seeds, which is based in Sweet Home, Oregon, and Brian Campbell of Uprising Seeds. He's based in Bellingham, Washington. You can learn more about Adaptive Seeds by going to their website, adaptiveseeds.com, and Uprising Seeds you can learn about by going to their website, uprisingorganics.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.